That's how we start the first Tall Can Sports of 2020.
I was messing with the volume at the same time.
Yeah.
And then there you were.
Here I am. For those who haven't been paying that much attention, that was the penalty music chosen for the 2020 World Juniors in Ostrava, Czech Republic. Wasn't popular.
It sucks, man.
All right. So you're not feeling it as a new opening to the podcast.
No.
You would not want that to be regular.
I think it should be the thing that we exit the show with when we've done something particularly poor.
So there was a great clip that I tried to find before the show because I wanted to work it in. And I think it was from the Canada-Slovakia game. And it's a referee who's jumped into a scrum and a third Slovakian is trying to jump in. And you can hear clear as day because some of the mics were pretty on point at
for
the tournament.
For sure, yes.
And you can hear him go, "What are you doing? Get out of here." I thought that might be a good exit to the show.
Well, you can hear, as you say, the mic's very close because you can hear a bunch of times going, "Get the fuck out of here. No. Fuck you, asshole."
Well, and there's a great one that during the tournament, this was back in the NHL, but it's TJ Brody trying to shoot the puck out and it hits the linesman and comes back in. And you can faintly hear Brody go, "The fuck out of the way." And then clear as day, like he's holding an in-arena microphone, you hear the linesman go, "You shot at my fucking feet." Then, yeah. Of course, the play-by-play guy. Yeah, we're sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, watching the Senators game the other day, and it's funny because, you know, they pan the crowd after a goal or whatever. And it was a week and a half ago, it was the Ottawa-New Jersey game. And Ottawa ties the game up, and they're panning the crowd. And there's a guy, maybe in his mid-20s, wearing always a punk ass look. He's got a jersey on, but a hoodie underneath. And he's looking. He's not looking at the camera. He's looking at somebody else.
Punk ass. It's practical.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
I'm not wearing my coat to the arena.
But then he's not looking at the camera. Then he fires up the double guns, right? And then the camera quickly pans away. But you're like, I don't know what that guy is or who he's looking at in the arena. But he's like, yeah, take that.
I think he does know he's on camera.
Yeah. So clearly there he is.
We have just finished watching Canada-Russia gold medal game at the World Junior Hockey Championships. Canada rides again. Interesting tournament, all in all. A certain amount of up and down for Canada. I guess we can talk a little bit about the game, but overall, we talked...
sorry about that.
Early on, we talked a little about the idea of starting off easy with your Polands, your Ethiopias, versus jumping right in with your USAs and your Russias like they had to do here.
And if you recall,
you were for it.
I'm for it.
It led to kind of a messy 6-4 win over the US, an absolute ass tanning at the hands of the Russians on
worst ever World Junior loss.
Yeah, 6-0. And then, you know, after that, Germany and the Czechs and the Slovaks in the quarterfinal and on and on. Any thoughts on how that progressed? Whether you feel any differently about what you prefer?
I like it. I still like it in the fact that you get a slap in the face early. Even if you win, like that USA game, they were down 3-1 or 2-0 early, 2-0 for sure. And so, yeah, you're forced to see what you have early. Right? Do you dig out? Do you let it go? What happens from here? I was interested in how today's game was going to go. I texted you beforehand. Like, to me, at times in this tournament, the Canadian team has looked overwhelming, right? In terms of its offensive prowess. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, at points in the U.S. game, I'm talking about the first 3.5 minutes in the semis against the Finns. Like, it was, and I know that was an undermanned Finn team at that time, but Canada came at them in waves. Like, the depth was obvious, but at other times, it
overwhelmed.
Just, they looked pedestrian.
Yep.
Right? And both against the Czechs at times, the Russians for sure, They couldn't control the neutral zone. Teams are coming through there like, hey, free passes, right? And there was too much access to the net. And so at times, yeah, I wasn't sure what I was going to get with this team, right? And we were very fortunate in the end, I think, that Joel Hofer steps up, right? Takes the reins and gives us what we've often lacked in years when we haven't won, right? Is just a really solid goaltender.
Yeah, and, you know, he wins goalie of the tournament. I didn't feel like there was a ton of stiff competition there, right? Like,
well, the Finn goalie coming into the semi.
Anonin.
Yeah, was.
Anonin, whatever.
Was outstanding.
Yeah, didn't look so outstanding in the semi.
No, and I don't know why you don't pull him at 4-0, right? Pull him.
Yeah, knowing you got a game the next day. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. That was interesting. It just wasn't one of the, you know, we talked in our preview show about Askarov, right, coming in for the Russians as the big draft eligible kid. He was terrible.
He kept coming out.
Right. And there was times, especially game one against the Czechs, where he was clearly off his angles. And, you know, you almost expect that out of an American or a Canadian coming over to the big ice.
Not somebody playing in St. Petersburg in the KHL.
He wasn't very good. Spencer Knight for the Americans I found to be underwhelming.
Well, because I think we all expected him, and especially anybody who listens enough or semi-regularly to Pierre Maguire, who just raves about him, right? Best athlete to come into the NHL in 20 years or these sorts of things. And so, yeah, you kind of expect him to, you know, put up a brick wall.
What do you, and I guess, you know, the Sens are in all likely going to have two, at least top 10 picks, maybe top five. The Sens don't need a goalie. They've got young guys in the pipeline. They won't use one of these. But if you were a team drafting that high and you had goaltending as a need, did this tournament with Askarov do anything for you? Is it too small of a sample size, or would you be concerned based on what you saw? Would it change your opinion at all?
Yeah, I think it does. I was going to give a, you know, sitting on the fence answer to it. But yeah, I think it does, right? Because you look at goalies who've been outstanding in this tournament and have just gone on to have middling NHL careers. Now, to be fair to Askarov, he's only 18. He has a chance to come back next year as a 19-year-old and kick the doors off this tournament, right? So, but in terms of drafting him, if I had a five spot pick, like number five, five through eight, I'm probably not taking him. But I am not an amateur scout.
What are we drinking? Something you're an above average or above amateur scout on.
Beer. And have you tried it yet?
I've had a couple of sips out of it.
Yeah. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So this is Dark is the New Light, which is the stout by Evergreen Brewing Company in Canada.
So Evergreen was in the calendar. They had a rye ale, I believe it was, that I quite enjoyed.
Well, sweet looking can, too. It was this sort of, you know, bright red can with the hops.
It looked very festive.
Well, and I'm talking to the people in the brewery today, and they have somebody, and I want to say he was Latvian, who does all their cans.
Oh, yeah.
He designs and does all the, there's some pretty cool stuff.
Right. Like
if you look at this can, man, there's a pile of shit going on it. But it's always got the hops.
Yep.
The hops are always on the can. And so, much like Nita.
Yep.
Nita and the hops are their logo. But, I like it. This is their stout. Comes in. It's had a nice head on it.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth and easy drinking. It's only 4%, right? So closer to your traditional style stout. And to me, very easy drinking. Would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely. Yeah. I guess I'm probably used to maybe normally a stout, despite the alcohol value on it, being maybe just a little stronger in taste. Like this, to me, I don't find particularly strong. But not in an unenjoyable way, right? Like, I could probably take just a little bit more flavor, but otherwise very, like you said, easy drinking, nice taste to it, so.
You know what I had on, now, honestly, I am now taking January, so despite the couple handfuls of peanuts I had, but I'm starving.
Yeah,
okay. And so nobody wants to come and throw a couple of beers under their helmet in the middle of the day while not having anything in their stomach. I'm doing January with No desserts, I'm doing no chips, which
right.
is the killer hard part for me.
Yeah.
Normally peanuts would fall into that, but no popcorn. I got a bag of Chicago mix in the freezer at home that I'm waiting for February 1st, really. It's the, but where was I going with this?
I don't know.
Okay, but sorry, I really wanted to do dryuary. I wanted to do January with no beer.
Yeah.
January's a hard month, right? And honestly, I am not... Well, I love my beer. But I woke up on January 1st, and I was looking at a pint of Guinness in the... I'm like, I could go for a pint of Guinness. And I'm like, damn, it's January 1st.
Yeah.
But I was out the other... So I decided to go no desserts, no chips, no popcorn for the month of January, no beer for the month of February, shortest month
yeah,
of the year.
Yeah, of course.
If we have any in
fuck you, leap year.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Exactly. It's true, man.
That 29th?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't count that.
No, of course
that to
not.
Me is,
I think that was last year anyway, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it is this year.
Oh, fuck that.
But,
still the shortest month, but that extra day is a fucker.
Yeah, no, and I'm not counting it.
No.
Okay. To me, that's a freebie. I'm all over that bad boy. But I had an O'Hara's Irish Stout. So to me, they're newer on the scene. I was at Chris Neal's.
I've had that somewhere.
Well, at the Central Beer House, probably.
Maybe. I haven't been there in a while, but...
They have it on tap, and...
It's a cool spot.
Well, they have a pile of beer there. If you're ever in Kanata...
Well, I was in there after a Leafs-Sens game a year or two ago.
Central Beer House. And so they have a pile of stuff on tap. They have a pile of stuff in...
It's rough.
In bottles as well, and they give you the country of origin and everything. Yeah, it's a nice job. But it's sort of a cross between a Guinness and a Murphy's, right? It's got a little bit more of that sort of coffee, espresso kind of
flavor.
And I
think as we go, and I'm not a coffee drinker, that is more what I'm looking – I want a little something more out of my – I had a couple Guinness over the holiday, and it was fine. But I did find myself going, could use just a little extra something to it, right?
But see, it also has the nitrogen, right? So it's got the creamier head on the O'Hara's. So it is one of those nice – if you're looking for your traditional sort of Guinness – Irish style stout.
Yeah.
The O'Hara's, man. It's dynamite. But this is, anyways, this is a recent open. Evergreen opened in September.
Right.
And so they were in, as you said, the advent calendar. I asked, you guys got any pop from it? And she said, yeah, we've seen a bunch of people come into the tap room.
Nice.
With their little tops of the advent calendar, you know, a free app or 15% off, whatever they were.
Everybody was a little different. Yeah.
Yep. So. That's what we're drinking today, and we got a couple more in future shows. I've grabbed up a couple others for us to sample here as we work our way around local breweries. Breweries. Like there's no R, just a bunch of W's in there.
Breweries. Dark is the new light. We always post the beers on Instagram at Tall Can Audio. You can give us a follow over there. The gold medal game itself was interesting. Canada down almost from start to finish. I guess, to be fair, it was tied for most of the first. But Canada,
tied for the entire first, actually.
Yeah, took a ton of penalties, spent most of the first period shorthanded.
Would you go as far as to say a shit ton?
I would, and a metric shit ton at that.
Yep. Wow.
In the second, honestly, as it got going, and Russia scored early, but I thought Canada was the better team for much of the second, carried the play. I thought every penalty we took in the first period was legit. I thought the one that got us scored on there early in the second was soft as baby poo.
The one on Hayden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But ended up with a 5-on-3, came back, tied it up there. And, you know, we were sitting around here watching the third period, and when they made it 3-1, I started calling out for...
The Buffalo.
Let's Buffalo these guys, right?
Yeah, well, as Ray said, it's a huge hole down 3-1 with 12 minutes to go in the third. Yeah, and you said that.
Yeah.
You were the first guy on that to say, let's just
do the Buffalo thing.
Yeah, do the Buffalo. Hanging in the Buffalo stands.
Of course.
That is the traditional Matt Robinson.
Yeah. And for those who don't remember, 2011, it's Canada with the big lead over Russia.
3-0.
And the Russians come back and win it 5-3. So, yeah, we were only down 3-1, but fuck it. And sure enough... Canada comes back and scores right away to make it 3-2. It's Barrett Hayton, who was questionable to even play, who makes it 3-3. And then Akil Thomas, a guy getting his first goal of the tournament, pulling the old Tyler Steenbergen.
Where are you, Tyler Steenbergen?
He kind of a World Juniors Carmen Sandiego. There's probably a bunch of those guys.
For sure there is.
Akil Thomas.
We go through them every Christmas Eve.
Scores the winner for sure. And after that, a bunch of craziness in terms of penalties both ways, non-penalties both ways, and Canada holds on to get it done. I don't know if this is quite what I expected, but I did say to you before the game, I didn't know who would win, but I expected it to be crazy.
Sloppy, messy.
Yeah, it got weird at the end, but I wouldn't have called the whole game kind of as sloppy or as messy as I would have expected. But that was fun, right? And maybe it's less fun if we don't come back and win it that way.
If we don't win.
Right.
But what you want is you want the nerves. Like, to me, that the semi-game, Canada's up 3-0.
It was over.
It was over. Like, and that game was boring for long stretches.
The rest of that game sucked. Like,
everybody knew Canada made it 4, and then later on Canada made it 5. But
going into that game, I was afraid of the Finns.
Like,
for
sure.
They had already done it to they've done it to us last year. They had done it to the Americans already. But 3 or 4 minutes in, I'm not scared anymore because offense isn't their
forte, and they're missing. They got Kokiniemi, he's not there, who's eligible. They got Kapo Kako, who's also eligible, not there. And then his name escapes me. They lost their top scorer,
I think.
Yeah, and so they just were really behind.
They were in tough,
but that never matters.
Right.
Right.
No, like they just do.
And no matter
the Finland
what
thing.
Yeah. and the thing is, if Canada's not in the game, I root for the Finns. I love the way they play.
Right.
To me, they're always the underdog. If they're playing Russia, they're playing the U.S., they're playing the Swedes, they're playing Canada, despite being a top 6 power, they're always the underdog, right?
Yeah.
Their blue is not an intimidating blue. It's soft, and you're like, that doesn't scare me. Their lion even looks like he's just come from a hair blowout, right? Yeah. He's got the hair blown back. He's a soft-looking lion. There's nothing really about them where you're like, hey, look at these guys. But then all they do is come up and back-check, forecheck. They're on you like white on rice. And so, yeah, kudos to them. And so that's why they're scary. And they had a great goalie, as they did last year with EPL.
Yeah. Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah. I forget his first name, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So they always seem to have a good goalie who, you know, had the worst game of the tournament for him at the worst time.
Yep.
But yeah, the Finns are scary. But so I don't like that. That sort of 3.5 minutes in, we're done. And then you're watching, you know, sort of 55 minutes of.
Well, that's it. After we beat the Americans in what I thought was a messy game for both teams and then got stomped by the Russians. All right, now you got Germany and the Czechs. And the Czechs actually had a pretty competitive tournament.
Especially, there's another team with missing their. They were down to their.
They lost in the first one. Jan Janik was their number one center. He went down at some point in the round robin. But you kind of. I went into that quarterfinal against Slovakia going, yeah, okay, like we're going to be okay. But those are now, after taking an ass kicking and just getting by the Americans in a messy one, I'm coming 3 straight games beating lesser opponents going, I don't know. I have no idea coming into this semi whether we're any good or are we the USA win or are we the Russian loss?
Yeah, well,
I didn't feel like I got any clarification on that against the Finns because it was over so fast. And I think that's probably why coming into the game today, I was still like, this could go a lot of ways.
And despite the 6-0 loss, I think with this Canadian team, with the wild card factor, as I said, what do we have?
Yeah.
The Russians are the worst matchup for that. To me, they always are the same. The Russians are super consistent, highly skilled.
Will break.
Yeah, solo adventure guys. They like to go on. But always highly skilled, right? Yeah. And so if we were going to continue to allow people to roam through the neutral zone and have access to the front of the net, the Russians are going to kill you. Right, and they are going to outskill you down low like that if you give them the opportunity.
And they were a big Russian team. Like, we don't normally think of them as a physical team, but that was part of what they did to us in the round robin. They leaned on us. They worked harder along the boards.
They taunted us.
Yeah, well. And one of the things, probably through our buddy Steve McLean there of the OHL fanboys, I end up following a bunch of people who know junior hockey way better than I do. And they were all calling out saying, this is exactly what I knew was going to happen. This half trap that Dale Hunter loves to run with London was never going to fly on the big ice with all these all-star Canadian kids, at least not that quick. It wasn't going to be implemented. And it just looked like the Russians ran sprints through the middle of whatever we were throwing at them in that game. I think part of what happened today in the gold medal game was, yeah, we got that under control a bit, but there was no blowout, right? We managed to put the pressure on them a little bit at times as well. And when they're up 2 or 3 nothing early, they're full of confidence and they're just going to keep jetting right through the middle like that. So I think there was a little bit of us maybe getting Hunter's trap down a bit better, but also more just, it was a more two-way game and you kind of kept them in check a little bit more. But a ton of people saying, this is exactly what you should have expected out of a Dale Hunter team. And I guess you got to eat a little crow on that now that he's won. But
well, the guy's in 20 years, he's been to 5 Memorial Cups, right? Hunter in London.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people tell you they've bought those, though, in London, right? They have the biggest arena. They've got all
Well, and people say the same thing about money in Kitchener and the same thing about money in Windsor or whatever it is, right? Like these teams that always seem to...
Yeah, it's never Plymouth or...
Right, but we'll see what happens here in Ottawa, right? And you hear now, that's a couple years in a row, and they're saying they run a pro-style system.
Yeah.
Right? They have all kinds of money here. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm not going to... Hey, if you can convince... American talent, which is what they do, right? They have to come up and play.
Rob Schremp.
Yeah.
It's my go-to American London night. I don't know.
Patrick Kane.
Sure. That's probably a better
one. That's another one right there. Then so be it, right? Then unless they close that off. And I can't imagine Dave Branch is turning a blind eye. I also don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting.
Pulling down a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that there isn't any shenanigans happening there because they do seem to always end up like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I believe it, but...
The all-tournament team selected by the media was Joel Hofer of Team Canada in goal, Romanov from the Russians, and Rasmus Sandin of the Swedes on defense, Alexis Lafreniere and Barrett Hayton from Team Canada up front, and Samuel Fagamo of the Swedes.
Oh, Fagamo! Somehow an Italian who got lost. And Fagimo!
As your forwards. I'm not sure what happened with Nils Höglander, who put up a pile of points. I think Fagamo did finish with more goals, but Fagamo was more points, and he had the lacrosse thing that seems to be catching on. He tried it twice. Once it worked, once it didn't. I was a little surprised at that, but any beef with the all-tournament team?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. As I said to you before we got in here, it's funny that Romanov didn't make the Russians top three, which is voted on by your own
staff.
By your own staff. You're like, he's your leading scorer. Yet you don't get a sniff.
Nah.
No, I got no real beef, right? I think the fact that we didn't have a defenseman in there.
Yeah.
Speaks volumes.
Do you think it was because we didn't deserve one or because we already had 3 guys, 2 forwards and a goalie?
I know. I think that clearly plays into it, right?
Yeah.
This wasn't a dominating Canadian team, no. Right? So you don't deserve to have, I think, 3 guys out of 6 is plenty.
We had a lot of, you know, guys, right? Byram was fine. Ball was fine. Bernard Docker at times was a little better than fine. Ty Smith at times was a little better. But none of them that you would go, yeah, clearly Canada's best player today. Right.
Right. Like, well, and see, to me, the guy, Bowen Byram.
Yeah.
To me, that guy's a stud.
For sure.
And he's working in that direction. I don't think he was at 100% today. Clearly, he sat out the semi game.
Yeah.
Or at least took the warm up and didn't play.
Gave Jamie Drysdale an opportunity there. He comes in, scores a big goal.
Jamie Drysdale, I think is going to be a stud. I think that guy's going to come back next year, and he's going to either wear a C, but he's going to be a killer, I think. And that's a guy. If Ottawa has 2 picks in the top 10,
I'm intrigued. I'm interested
with the second pick.
Yeah,
right. Further, you know, closer towards 10. I if he's still around.
Yeah.
I would for sure give that guy a look.
And Bob McKenzie said in September, has been saying since September, the kid skates like Scott Niedermeyer. And he's clarified a few times. I'm not saying
he skates.
I'm almost going the other way. He's not saying he skates well. He's like, he skates like Scott Niedermeyer. He may do that. Like, and I think Bob McKenzie was making that praise that normally you hear them go the other way. I'm not saying he'll be Scott. I think he was saying he might be Scott Niedermeyer. Right?
See, so. Then I've now just bumped it up.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in true Ottawa fashion, we may finish in the bottom 3, but won't get the number 1 pick. So we will be looking at 3 versus 8.
Yeah.
Hey, just in an off question here for you outside of the World Juniors. If you had picks 3 and 8, would you try and package them up for 1? And if you were the person with 1, would you take that?
No. I mean, I'm the opposite. I won't do it. I'll take 2 top 10 lottery balls.
Not even for Lafreniere.
Well, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
No, sure. But I still don't think I would do it. I think this draft is supposed to be deep enough that, you know,
you're going to get two top line players in the top 10 in this draft.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you.
And part of it might be the winger thing.
But have you not been absolutely impressed with that guy?
Yes, for sure I have.
And
much better than I expected.
In the semis yesterday, when in one of the intermissions, Bob McKenzie was reading out, you know, he said, I was talking with a couple of pro scouts over there, or amateur scouts.
Yeah.
And the one scout said, I actually found it to be, and I'm paraphrasing, to be more than the hype, and the hype was large,
yeah.
Right? That he was better than advertised.
I thought
and
so
the
too.
Advertising was, well, because I don't know about you, but I saw him last year. I don't see a bunch of Q games.
No.
But I'm thinking, yeah, that's just another guy in the queue where they score a pile
float
of goals and
score,
don't play a bunch of
games. Anthony Mantha, he's just
ripping it up. Or that Crosby guy.
Loser.
Yeah. But he's not that. But I was impressed with, in the American game,
yeah,
with the physicality, right,
yeah,
where he goes in, he lays.
He started that rally.
For sure. Yeah. And so, and then, honestly, the sick mitts is just, he in tight.
Fine in his own end for a kid who's not yet drafted. Like, I was really impressed as well. I sort of expected, you know, he might tear it up a bit on the power play. But as you said, kind of the way the queue rolls, right? You never really know what's coming out of there.
They're not getting the benefit of the doubt ever, right? You always just assume, yeah, that's a goal scorer. And then they show up at this tournament and they don't do as much.
Right.
Right?
He did.
Ribeiro and those kinds of guys, right? Oof, that's going way back.
Yeah,
eh?
Wow.
Sorry about that.
Sure.
But yeah, so to ask that guy to give up that pick, because I think if you look at the way he can drive play through the wing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Guy's runs the power play.
Yep.
Up on the I just think he's special, and I'm smitten.
Might be yours, man.
That's why. No, he won't.
Could be.
Because it doesn't work that way, man.
That's when he'll turn out to be Alexander Daigle once again. So.
Yeah, or Patrick Stefan,
sure,
or any of those guys. Yeah.
I just was trying to stay local.
Good for you, Chris Phillips. How about that? There's another one for you. Or Brian Berard. How about that?
Yeah. As we move off the World Junior, Vince Carter.
Vince Ferragamo.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Vince Carter becomes the first NBA player ever to play in 4 decades.
Okay.
Now, of course, you know, comes in the late 90s, obviously through the 2000s and the 2010s, and plays a game here just after New Year's, makes it happen. There are 3 current NHL players who have done the same. There are 14 ever. We're not going to go through all that. Who are the 3 current NHL players who have now played in 4 decades?
3 of them?
3 of them.
Zdeno Chara.
He is one of them.
Patrick Marleau.
Patrick Marleau is another one.
Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton is the other
Rob!
Smoke show. Some old fuckers,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how many geezers do you really have? And you're like, yep. Okay.
Yeah, and I wondered, you know, when I heard the question, I kind of hovered around Kovalchuk briefly.
Because he was in that 98 World Juniors,
but
right?
Did so, not come over early enough, I guess.
You're talking about the most recent Montreal Canadian?
Yes. What do you think of that? 700 grand, 2-way deal.
I'm doing it if I'm them.
Yeah. And they're hurt. They're banged up a little. Four of their top nine forwards are hurt.
Yeah, and they're 5 or 6 losing streak.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, for sure. Who doesn't love that?
I'm surprised he went there.
Well, because nobody else wants him.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, how much cheaper could he make himself than 700 grand, right? Like,
well, because he's still getting paid.
I was sure he'd end up in Boston.
See, to me, he doesn't fit what Boston's doing.
Well, he could be a fourth liner there and then play on the power play.
Yeah, I just think he doesn't. I think they're going to make a trade for a Pageau type guy at the trade deadline.
That'd be just super.
Yeah. A guy who can come in and like throw a wool blanket on your on your top end guys.
On our smoke show.
Yeah. But I don't think Kovalchuk is what Boston like. Boston doesn't want a guy who's gonna be terrible in his own end and sulk and maybe be slow on line changes and shit.
You're right. The more I think about this, screams Montreal.
Yeah, for sure, man. Because he's almost like a French Canadian.
Carey Price down at like a .903 save percentage. Like, things are not good in Montreal after an okay start. They were in a playoff spot for most of the first two and a half months.
Yeah, and so Ottawa, not to make this very Ottawa-centric, right, decimated on the back end of what was already a suspect blue line, right?
Yeah.
When you're hanging your hat on Zaitsev and Ron Hainsey.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're both out. Dylan DeMello, who is actually the glue in that decor, is also out. You're playing with a bunch of AHL. Cody Golubev has been...
With Shabbat.
Has been taking up a pile of time and took a dash five in that last Florida game. And you're like, oh, my God. So they're like, hey, Ottawa's made a trade. They've traded for Mike Riley from Montreal. This is a guy who is a healthy scratch in Montreal whose defense is also shite.
You know what makes it worse? He was going on waivers the next day, but Ottawa was too close to the 50 contract limit.
Yeah.
So they wanted Montreal to take a contract in return, which means you give up a fifth round pick to make the trade instead of just claiming him off waivers. And you go, well, maybe a fifth round pick isn't that. That's where Mark Stone come from, right?
Like Alfredson, that's right. Where you get all those
kinds. And if the thought is supposed to be that Pierre Dorion is so good at drafting, which he's been, then you don't give up. Like, I get it when you're tanking, you're just kind of like, whatever, we just need a body who can come in. But this was the same with, was it Namestnikov? Stop giving up anything for just guys, right? You're tanking anyway.
Yeah, and but there's tanking, and then there's getting ass tanked.
The respectable tank.
Well, yeah, and so...
The dignified tank.
I think what happens here is, that's what that comes down to. They have a gajillion picks. In this next draft,
I'd keep him before I spend on Mike Riley.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
And this circles a long way back. And this was the Sixth Sense had it in his piece in the Athletic. Scott Sabourin, did you need to sign that guy to an NHL contract, pulling you that much closer? And look where it's gone. And it was just another guy, right? You know, is that the end of the world? No, of course not. But now you sit there and you could have just claimed Mike Riley off waivers, but you had to give up a pick now to stay away from the contract.
And it does come down. They have 48 out of the 50, right? They are, and so as the trade deadline draws closer, right,
you want some flexibility.
You are looking for that flexibility, and that is the thing, right?
Yeah. When you look around at this point, Tampa has clearly turned their corner.
Yeah, but I don't think they have.
Okay. You were just there Saturday night in person. Yeah.
And honestly, Ottawa has beaten them this year. In three games, Ottawa's beaten them. Ottawa's lost to them in overtime. And then Tampa scored with a minute and a half in the game yesterday to go ahead on Saturday night. And so you're like, they got so much more talent than Ottawa. But that game was competitive. It was entertaining to watch live. Tampa's like they're lacking something, right? And to me, it's like when you watch it and coming off the World Juniors, you watch those sort of some of the classic Russian teams where they expect they're going to pass the puck in the net. Like,
right.
We're so much more skilled than you that we don't really have to put the pedal to the metal. Even though Tampa's won six or seven in a row, they still have that same feel. To me, they're not a very industrious team.
Well, the whole division has been weird. 3 weeks ago, Toronto was 4 points back of Buffalo and is now 8 points ahead of them. Like, and that's a pretty short...
Well, going 9-0-1 or whatever it is.
Yeah, but at the same time, that obviously means Buffalo's got to go 1-9-2 or whatever to make that happen, right? Like, they've kind of fallen off. And honestly, the more I watch Buffalo, I kind of like what they've got going on there, right? Like, they look like they... I don't know that I had them... second place in the division like they were hanging on to for so long, but they shouldn't be. You know, Eichel has clearly turned a corner, is playing way better.
Well, and he's been benefited by Olofsson. I think that guy has been unbelievable.
He just got hurt. Yes, they're getting beat up. I think Skinner's hurt. So maybe that's part of it. Well, 40 goals last year. Got himself a nice contract.
40 goals last year.
Yeah.
This is it. He may not score 40 in the lifetime of this contract. Sorry about that, Jeff.
Long time listener.
Yes,
no time tweeter.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the love?
Yeah. I wonder, man, if, you know, the Panthers are now still well ahead, kind of hanging around. Are they just waiting for Bob to get hot? Could they still, they're only like one back of Tampa,
and
I think.
If you look at what Bobrovsky did last year,
yeah,
with a shite season, for the most part, honestly, at points, Tortorella telling him to stay away.
Yeah. Go home.
Giving you the Jake Allen treatment. And then, I don't know, dude reeled off 7 shutouts in the last 30 games of the season or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That guy can be scary good. And to me, Florida has been, they've been winning games 6-4.
Yep.
Right? If that guy ever gets his shit together,
they could be scary.
They could be scary. Right,
Huberto's got like back-to-back 90-point seasons. No one talks about it. Well,
he's the Draisaitl of the East,
I guess.
You go 50 goals. That guy didn't score 50 goals. Oh, you're looking. He scored 50 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? And again, if you look at the athletic rankings, right, with Barkov,
yep.
Most underrated player, most overrated player. I think he's
dynamite. Both.
I think he's dynamite.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
But once everyone agrees you're the most underrated, you're not that underrated.
Yeah. Like. Are you talking about me? Hell yeah, you are.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. The Leafs clearly, red hot. Smoking
15-0-1 in their 20 games, or 15-4-1, excuse me, under Sheldon Keefe now.
Yeah. Well, everyone's hugging. There's a lot of kumbaya going on there.
They all seem happier.
Yeah.
Sure.
Willie Nylander is ripping it up.
Tearing it apart, man.
That's that number 88 jersey. Yeah, clearly, course, all that, man. Good karma.
Makes you a killer.
Yeah. So
I wonder, where do you see now? I think I had 5 coming out of this division into the playoffs.
We both did.
You still see that? Islanders hanging around. Pittsburgh up in second again.
God damn you, Islanders. And yeah, the Penguins, who I clearly had picked for a 5th spot in that division.
Yeah. Carolina's still holding on to a wild card. Some people would say they're better than that. I've never been one of them, but here they are again.
See, I had them finishing 2nd in the division.
Yeah.
But that's because I thought they sucked last year, and I thought they overachieved.
It's James Reimer, man. He's killing it.
I think, yeah. And clearly they would be in 2nd place if they still had McElhaney. Right? I think they're only in a wild card spot because of Reimer. Oh,
he's towing them down.
That's my take. Yeah, those big lips are just pulling them right down. I don't know. I think you're looking for a 4-4.
Yeah.
Maybe is how this is going.
There was a time no more than a month ago where it looked like
5-3 the
other
way.
We had no chance of there being 5 teams or even 4 from this division, from the Atlantic.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Okay. You got to jump in as I'm trying to.
Yeah. Make a point.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Make a point. Have a point, Matt.
Getting to it, you trampling motherfucker.
Slowly, this big slow-moving arc.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I'm on this show.
To slap me out of the way.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
I'm saying things.
Are you talking still? Get out.
Have you watched much Toronto over the last 3 weeks?
Just enough.
Okay.
Which is mostly highlights. That's about all I need.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm looking over there and you guys have a backup goalie with 3 wins.
Suddenly.
What the hell do you think you're
Hutch
running there?
Hated Babcock, apparently.
Yeah, well, honestly, clearly everybody did.
It is very kumbaya. You keep seeing they announced the new contract for Justin Hall while they were in his hometown.
Yeah, why would you not?
Adam Brooks, a Winnipeg kid, got called up from the Marlies. He gets to be on the starting line in Winnipeg. Like, little things like that.
Where's Pontus?
I remember they said
I need some more Pontus.
One of the reasons that Jason Spezza started was on the starting line in this would be back on like the 22nd, the afternoon game, the kids game. They asked Sheldon Keefe why Spez started on. He's like, well,
he's got 62 kids.
I think his kids were going to be in the building. And someone quote tweeted that and goes, Mike Babcock watching this game just chucked his glass of whiskey into the fireplace going, yeah, fuck your sentimentality.
Or at the TV.
Right. So.
And that's the thing, right? Everything about this seems like a great big fuck you to Mike Babcock.
Absolutely.
Like every move.
Justin Hall is suddenly a legitimate top 4 defenseman after 71 healthy scratches last year. Hutch suddenly can stop a puck occasionally. Matthews, oh, on pace for 55 suddenly, right?
Yeah, but you early in the season, he was on pace for 162.
You do this all the time. Keep saying that the 55 is going to be disappointing or whatever yeah. it is.
Well, that's how you do it. You go, yeah. How many goals do you think? You're like, oh, you always got to go way over there. You're like, oh.
Yeah. No, it's true.
All right. This my point now is moot.
Well, Mike, I guess what I would say about this little run is that this is exactly what you should have expected out of this team if Babcock was using it the way that Dubas, not necessarily the record, but the 6-3 wins over Winnipeg, right? Yep. The crazy fire drills in.
Somebody smartly sat Connor Hellebuyck in that game, said,
yeah. He's about to get toasted.
That just feels like not a good place to be. Hellebuyck, you're on the bench this
And he was not good that
yep,
night.
So there you go.
But you would, you know, we're about to find out. Like, the thought has always been, you can't play that way in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well they're sure as fuck going to try.
I was going to ask you, you feel comfortable?
I have no idea, man.
No, that's not. I'm asking, do you feel comfortable? I'm not asking you if you think it'll have success. I'm saying, how
yes.
do you,
yes.
Leaf fan,
yeah.
boy?
Because this is what they're supposed to do. Dubas built it to run this way. Now he's got a coach, his coach, that wants to run it this way. Where you used to have a coach that was like, no, that's not how I want to do this. And so I'm going to take this square peg and put it in this round hole. And it was never going to work. So I don't know now if this will work, but I know they're doing it properly now. And this was always going to be what it looked like. And we'll see. I don't know. Right now, if the playoffs started today, it'd be Toronto-Tampa. Boston's only won 4 out of their last 15. I don't know what's going on there, but they're suddenly within reach again.
They came out crazy hot, like unsustainably
kind
of hot.
Yep.
Hey, no, just I think we can come back to this, or I can put my stamp of disapproval on the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. That'd be weird.
I think all the points on their little rusty sheriff's badge are going to get taken off in the playoffs.
Out of those three teams, Toronto, Tampa, Boston, Toronto has the easiest remaining schedule too. So,
okay. We'll see. So, meaning what? Meaning you think they're going to win the division?
No, I think they're probably still... I still think Tampa's going to win the division, to be honest with you.
I like...
Tampa still has three games in hand.
Yeah.
They've had that since like October. Are you ever going to play those?
But I think if you had... I think right now, I think Tampa may be the best option for Toronto.
Oh, I agree.
In a first
round. I want to play Tampa more than I want to play Boston.
For sure.
I think... And this might sound crazy to some people.
That's
we're
going to
play
shit,
the same
man.
Style. And I think right now, Toronto's deeper. I like what we have better than what they have.
Mm.
Yeah, I get that.
All right. I'm just.
But if we're going to run and gun, give me my top 9 against theirs.
I like their goalie.
Yeah, you should.
And I like their D better.
You should like their. And actually, I'm pulling back on the goalie thing. I'm going to square that off. But you should absolutely like their D better.
Yep.
Way better.
Okay. And that's all it comes down to. And we can debate that, and we will.
Yeah, we got time.
As the spring rolls closer. And I have nothing to look at here in town other than playoff teams.
Right.
So we will check that out. But yep. I do like, that being said, the season they've had and watching Tampa live. Ah, man, you know what?
Yeah.
Now... I have zero, because as of right now, I have zero faith that the Lightning can flip a switch and play playoff hockey.
Right.
Because we haven't seen it all last season through the playoffs and the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
To me, they've been average. And even winning 6 games in a row, they don't look great to me with all the talent they have.
No, that's true. And
so,
that's probably why I'm itching for a
match. And I agree with you. To me, I agree with you. But beyond that, I'm not sure. Right?
Yeah.
We would see what the matchup is.
Yep. Who's got home ice? Who's
right,
you know.
where it is. And so that, you know, that being said, the Leafs have played quite well.
For sure.
Well, and again, 15-4-1 or whatever it is
nothing
is a scintillating
but
pace.
They needed this. Like they're just now back on 100-point pace, which is what they you know. Yeah. Now they're on like something stupid, like 130-point pace under Keith, but
well, and if you look at Matt,
teams have these heaters.
A younger Matt, and by younger, I really just mean 6 weeks ago.
Okay,
honestly,
slightly younger.
Chicken Little, Sky is Falling guy saying they gotta win 650 hockey for the rest of the season. And they may not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and then they fired their coach, yeah, brought in a guy, and now they're playing 750 hockey.
And then there was the voice of reason.
Oh, God.
Rob. And the same guy who said that Edmonton was still not going to make the playoffs, and you're like, but they're 9-3-1.
Still hanging in there.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs. Wild card.
It's starting to look that way for sure.
Yeah. Well, because when you run two guys,
at some point they run out of gas.
And you're putting all your money in Koskinen and Mike Smith.
That's not good.
Hey, man, suddenly my wheels have gone square. I have no idea what's happening here.
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
Who wants a train with square-wheeled caboose?
Cornelius! Yeah, those sorts of things, right? And you're like, you have to give me January 1st and we'll see how it goes.
Still think Edmonton's going to miss squeak in.
I think they're not. I think they're
gonna, making me nervous.
You're talking about squeaking in. I think it's going to be a great big wet fart sound as they miss easily.
The Blue Jays have landed themselves a legit ace. By all accounts,
old, fat, and injured.
It's me, folks. Opening day. Come see Matt pitch. It's going to be awesome.
He's going to do it from a seated position.
Goddamn right. Hyunjin Ryu, the Korean superstar.
I don't care for your self-deprecating humor either. I like to
throw
throw those bombs.
Locked him up just before Christmas. And he is a guy that I think everyone, you know, there's no denying his ability, but he's had some injury troubles. And he's a little bit older, but they were the only team willing to go to 4 years with him. And I think if you're this Blue Jays team with this management group and this budget, there was nothing wrong with doing that given the contractual commitments that you have moving forward, right? Like they have nothing in that fourth year. Now you're going to be getting ready to pay Vlad and Bo and these guys, but there was nothing wrong with this team flexing a little financial might for once to get that done. I think this was a good move, and if it falls apart in the fourth year, fuck it.
Yeah, and I think everybody who is, and I've just voiced these concerns about, he's a little heavy, but we are talking about CC Sabathia type stuff, and the other guy's name escapes me right now, but in terms of heavier pitchers who pitch.
There's a few of them. Yep. David Wells.
Into their late 30s.
Yeah.
And pitch well, right? What you need to know about this guy is, yeah, we talked about him second in Cy Young voting. He won the ERA race, I believe.
Yep.
When they were talking about the fitness testing that the Dodgers ran, and you had to do X amount of, you know, whatever the running was, you had 35 seconds to complete it, and he did it in 34 seconds, and other guys were completing it in like 21 seconds, and they were asking him, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, I think all the other guys didn't understand. They said, you had to do it in 35 seconds. He goes, I was closest.
Yeah, I had 35 seconds. Fuck it. You're busting your ass.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing, man? You must not understand.
It's like running the gauntlet, drinking beers against.
Yeah, there you go.
Take your time, man.
Put your heavies up front.
Right.
Pound the beers back, hoping to take the edge off. But
yeah.
Yeah, so he... I'm super interested to see how that turns out.
Well, it does what it's supposed to do, right? It pushes everybody down a little. You're going to bring in Tanner Pearson. You'll see what you have there. Rourke.
Yep, of course he is. Rourke.
He goes from being your number two to down to your number three, which is a position he's far more suited for. You've got a couple of young arms you can take a look at. I think this is a really nice piece. And if the other guys that you have... in the lineup, well, I was going to say in your batting order,
in the lineup,
you know, if they do what they're supposed to do and Ryu has a good season, I think next year it's far less difficult to attract free agents who can maybe see you're closer to this than people maybe expected.
I've said for the last year. Right?
Yeah, you're looking for another year away.
Another year away before, but that's not what that's to me. That's what you're saying, is this maybe this team wins between 85 and 90 games this year?
Yeah,
right. And you go, hey man, they got a nice batting order.
Yep.
Right. That's only getting better.
Right.
If they can bolster a little of the pitching, this team is closer.
Yeah.
Right. And so I agree with you that you're looking more for that 2021 season,
but you've got some credibility now, right?
Well, and shown, as you say, if you can flirt with a wild card spot for most of the season,
yeah,
man, and you win 90 games and you're out, or
it's not getting any easier, eh? The Yankees just keep loading the fuck up,
keep spending cash, but again, that didn't seem to work for him last year. Ultimately,
yeah.
But baseball is a sport to me where you can just continue to add.
Sure. Big
money contracts, right? In terms of,
if you want to chip away on the low end, if you're smart, you can do it. Kansas did it. Tampa has done it, right? You can get it done if you're smart with it. But there's no reason that the Blue Jays shouldn't be spending. And it was good to see them, you know, sort of open the wallet and say, no, this was our guy all along. We wanted this guy. And at the end, took a fourth year at 20 million or whatever it was, and they went, okay.
Well, but that is one of those things where you can talk about monetary might.
Yeah.
Right? I think at the end of the day, it comes down to there's other teams with money
mm-hmm.
that just didn't want to give him that fourth year.
Yes. And that's the gamble, right? But if you are comfortable with your financial situation, you can take that gamble.
Well, because Lord knows, I think they were paying $13 million for their
Troy Tulowitzki still
one more year.
I think
one more year, but Martin's off the books.
Yeah,
thank you.
Did you want to talk at all about the Red Blacks bringing in? You know, we don't know yet. It's Nick Arbuckle.
Calgary Stampeders.
Played, you know, pretty reasonably well for the Stamps this year while Bo Levi Mitchell was down. If I'm not mistaken, our pal AJ Jakubek, hope you're feeling better.
Released from the hospital.
Yep. Back on his feet. Awesome to see. If I'm not mistaken, it was 173 for 235 passing. So, you know, not bad.
Well, and
he does appear to have been the best available free agent quarterback. So they have traded for his rights so they can talk to him for a bit and try to get that done. To make sure that he doesn't talk to anybody else first.
And they'll sign him.
I think so, too.
To me, that is, he wants to start, and there's only so many starting spots, right?
Yeah.
And Ottawa trading the pick for him clearly shows that they are bullish enough. They need a starting quarterback here.
Yeah, for sure.
And as you say, he looked really good. Not just okay at times.
Yep.
He looked like a bona fide starter, right, moving forward. He's younger. Right, I think that's a guy who you bring him in, and he has every possibility in a system where new coaching staff.
Yeah, we'll see with Paul Appelese, right? Whether
I love what Ottawa's done in terms of the shit, and it's hopefully once AJ gets his feet back under him, we can have him in, because it couldn't have been more negative in this city, right? In terms of Rick Campbell and Desjardins and the shit, and people saying, you know, people don't want to sign here. People don't like Desjardins.
Yeah.
He's got to change. And then all they've done is they've gone out and they've got the best coach available. They brought in the defensive coordinator, who's a former head coach, who also interviewed for head coaching jobs. He's coming in. And now you've got the best potential free agent quarterback.
Yep.
Under for negotiating.
Yeah.
So to me,
you don't do that unless you're sure you're going to lock him up.
That's right. And this, to me, this offseason, for as doom and gloom as it was, could not have gone better, right? In terms of Desjardins took some serious mud, right? In terms of, for a guy who took an expansion franchise and in 5 years went to 3 Grey Cups.
Yep.
And, you know, you're like golden boy and coach and all that stuff. And then you go, in one season, you go 3-15 and it's your absolute.
Fuck this guy.
Fuck that guy for sure.
Turns quick, man.
And because he's not a when you speak to him, he's an absolute matter of fact guy.
Right.
Right? You don't listen to Marcel Desjardins and go, yeah, that's a rah-rah guy. Let's get behind that guy.
Yeah.
To me. And so you're like, no, man, that guy's like, oof. I don't know. As he said, the hatchet man, right? I run a tight organization. I do what I need to do. But yeah, I think he has just gone out, and that's a big FU, right, in terms of what he's been able to assemble.
Yep.
I'm super interested in Lapolis and what he's gonna be able to do here. And if Arbuck comes, you're like, man.
Could be.
Free agency, we'll see what happens. We just need another couple deep threats. Like, really?
Yep.
Bring me in one legit deep threat for Arbuckle to throw at.
Well, Ian Mendez with a great tweet the other day.
Friend of the show, Ian Mendez.
The Senators have brought in Mike Riley. Or Ottawa has brought in Mike Riley. Yes. Sorry, not that Mike Riley. Sorry, Red Blacks fans.
Well, I don't care. We don't have 750 grand. Nobody has that. That guy's going to – that's how BC ends up in the toilet situation they are. Because they're paying almost one-fifth of their salary cap to their quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nobody who can protect you and no one for you to throw the ball to. Let's hope you can Steve Young it off the back of somebody's helmet and run into the end zone every time. Because otherwise
– yeah.
Shit ain't going right.
That's it, man. First Tall Can Sports for another year.
Yeah. I feel like I got another half a beer here.
You probably do.
Beer and a half. Beer and a half a show seems pretty good.
It's not bad. We're kicking off 2020.
In style, man. Yeah. I'm fire.
Pretty sure I can say.
Unless I'm not.
Got Chris Stevenson coming in here in the next couple of weeks. Should be fun for the first time.
Which is why I couldn't really do the dryuary thing, because you can't bring a guy in.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about beers.
Well, and so that's why I half-miled it. Far be it for Matt to half-mile something. But it was, I'm cutting out beer any night that isn't a recording night. That's sort of where I've laid this down for January 2020.
And in February, sorry, man,
You do what you got to do, man.
I'm doing the whole month, no beer.
Okay.
And
I'm doing the whole month with a new co-host.
Right on.
Yeah. That'd be rough. Long way down. Long way to go. That's Tall Can Sports. First one of 2020. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.